Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 227. You guys are going to hear us jump right into conversation. That's because Drake and I started this episode. Kevin wasn't there yet. We talked about a bunch of dumb stuff. Kevin joined. The conversation got way good. And so we decided at the end, let's just make the juicy stuff the whole episode and cut the BS, right? We want to give you guys the good content. That's what we're here to do. What we're here to do, baby. Let's have a day. Let's go. Is entering the chat, and I'm glad that Kevin sits down right at this point, because I'm really curious to see how he would have handled this too. I don't know if he would have done anything with it. Kev, are you aware that NIL is it's full bore ahead in 4 days, July 1st?
Yeah.
How would you approach approach that if we were still on the team? Say we're like in junior year, it's like 2016, we're going into our junior season, and all of a sudden NIL is a thing. How does Kevin Ward approach that? Or does Kevin even
doesn't even make any difference in my life? Cause I'd pull, ain't nobody knows who Kevin Ward is in summer of 2016.
I understand that too, but like, so you wouldn't have actively tried to do anything with it. Like if anything came to you,
If somebody came along and said, "Hey, take a picture and we'll give you $100," then I don't know. Maybe I don't know. But I wouldn't have actively pursued anything. I don't think.
It's so interesting to me, man. Did you
What did you guys say?
I literally just asked the question, and I'm just curious to like Drake's answer. You guys know that because of who I am, I would have been all over it, even as the long snapper. And I would have been made fun of by all of you.
Yes, you would. You're the greediest bastard I've ever met in my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. J-Bo has t-shirts. I don't know if you saw that, Kev. He came out with a website that is ready to go. He's ready to drop the link on July 1st. And it's just like, thanks for the Mems t-shirts. From the Iowa State when he left the sneakers there.
Wait, so did Iowa pass an NIL bill?
So Iowa does.
The NCAA finally approved.
The NCAA came out with their legislation officially because they had to by July 1st, I think was the ruling like several months ago. Like you have to have some sort of something for this, or else like you're going to get fined. I don't know. So they came out and they basically said, any states who have NIL, all athletes who are in the NCAA are allowed to follow their state's NIL rules and will not be, their eligibility for the NCAA won't be punished or anything like that. And any states who do not have any NIL rules must only follow the rules of like the state that are legal. So like, I think basically what that was getting at is like, you can't go to a strip club and like sell your body for money because you're a football player, you know, like any other stuff like that. Otherwise, now,
to back up to your question, now that you put it out there, I might've considered something that might've been my most profitable.
I could see Kevin Ward late night after the game at Summit, topless, no shirt, flashing the pecs, little baby oil, taking tips. Just, hey, number 26 is serving up mojitos, baby. Let's get it going. Drake's face on that was so funny. So scum.
So basically, I think what that basically means like you're just like any other normal human being. So go make money how you want to make money.
Which congrats to them for that. It's nice to be a
normal. Good.
Iowa also on Saturday, I want to say on Saturday, right before all this came out, announced that they have a program called Flight that they
I saw the Instagram post.
Yeah, they're working with an outside company to basically somebody that they've already been working with, I guess, for some other reason, but now they're also going to be doing NIL stuff where they're going to help the student athletes with education and whatever.
Is it just education or is like helping them market themselves too?
I don't know if they're actually like agents
like,
as well.
Hey, I'm trying to do something. Can you help me out or put me in contact or whatever?
I don't know. It's going to be
because really- honestly, I mean, that might be the next recruiting battle.
How do you mean? Like who has the best like, agents that can help them out?
Yeah. Like, hey, this team's like got a program or whatever that helps their guys, you know, maximize their profitability during college or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I would consider that.
All I know is that the Iowa boosters better not get cheap now or we're fucked. Because if the Iowa boosters' pockets get tight and they're not willing to fork out this advertising cash to these kids, we're not getting high recruits. Forget about it.
But we already don't. Like, do you think that?
Yeah, well, our recruiting classes have been looking up, pal.
They have been. They have been. I think.
And now just imagine if these places are allowed to legally give kids money for the easiest things in the world. They'll find ways to pay these kids like actual first-round draft picks. And we're absolutely not going to do it.
I don't. I
know, but I don't care if you're the number one recruit going to Alabama. You're not getting a first round draft pick signing bonus.
I'm not talking about a signing bonus of like $23 million for the first pick overall. But if you don't think that some of these kids are going to be making seven figures a year off of advertisements and autograph signings and shit, that's crazy.
The only people making seven figures a year would be like the Trevor Lawrences and Zion Williams.
Proven. And this is where I'm with it, Kevin, is I see what you're saying, Drake. And I get that, right? You're some fat pocket, big shot down in, you know, in Alabama.
Think about the Texas money, bro.
And
the University of Texas is back.
Right. And I know that like, it sounds so easy for some billionaire to just start forking over a million to this kid, a million to the other one. But those guys care about their money too. And like all of this is going to be on record as well. So like the reputation, like, oh, this guy's just giving money. I really think, yes, maybe they promise some recruits like, hey, we're going to give you $100,000 a year. We're going to give you $200,000 a year. But once they get to campus, the real serious, crazy money that you're talking about up in the millions of dollars, I don't think that any, even the richest boosters in the world aren't just going to be like, yeah, man, doesn't matter if you play well or not. We're just going to keep giving you $1 million a year. Like Kevin said, I think it's only going to be those guys who are proven and are like Heisman contenders who these boosters are going to legitimately be like, okay, yeah, we're willing to.
And it's not just, no, I mean, there's nobody out there making seven figures just off boosters. It's not happening. It's people who are actually going to sign like endorsement deals, right, like the Zion Williamsons, Trevor Lawrences of the world.
Like
you're really telling me right now, you're telling me that Travis Etienne, I just picked a random good player's name. You don't think that Travis Etienne could have said, if I don't make $1 million for my senior year, I'm going to transfer out of Clemson. And you don't think that some Clemson diehard billionaire is going to pay him $1 million?
There's a potential for that. Now, you're assuming a lot of things here.
I'm just making up scenarios in which there are a lot of elite players that can find a lot of the under table money.
You've opened the door to the room of possibility, right? Like that is now possible. I guess I see it in a way that I see the good in people too much.
Because dude, there's greedy people that want their football to be good. Like the University of Texas is in a drought, dude.
And I understand the boosters want it, but here's the thing. You have to assume also that the kid is that greedy enough to put his
What is future? You mean $1 million a year? That secures your future, pal. That's what you're going to school for.
Travis Etienne would be making dick if he didn't get that $1 million. Like, he'd still be making money off some other stuff.
I don't know.
All I'm saying is that Iowa has had a reputation of doing things the clean way. And
you're right.
Now this NIL thing makes it super easy for the dirty way to be done. And we just better not be cheap when other people are doing it dirty. That's all I'm saying.
It's not all on the boosters either, though. It's like, it's, you know, it's the companies around here. It's national brands too. Like,
that's what I'm saying. That's where the big money is going to be at for those huge name players, is like the national brands with like legitimate endorsement deals.
I will say this. It will be interesting if all of the sudden these schools like Texas or the SEC, who already has all these big time recruits, if you do start to see these deals done for kids that are like, you know, and you know, like Texas has like the fourth best running back in the Big 12 or whatever, right? And the kid, just because it's Texas, is getting $2 million a year from all of these boosters who own these companies local to Austin, Texas or whatever. Then it's going to be interesting. It's going to be like, okay, at some point, I think the kids still care about it. I don't think it's all about money. I don't think it's all about money. Because now you can get money anywhere. Like, you're going to get your money. Like Kevin said, it's not $2 million or zero. It's $2 million and go to Texas and a school that maybe you don't want to go to, or you stay home in Iowa and go to your school that you're a legacy at or whatever. I just look at kids like, God, I don't even know. Like,
I mean, you can look at it in the NFL too. I mean, there's guys that turn down bigger money just to stay where they're at because they like where they're at and stuff. So, I mean, not everybody everywhere is motivated solely by money.
Yeah. And that's what I think people are automatically.
These are broke kids. These aren't NFL athletes. These are kids who are finally able to get their opportunity to get their hands on money they've never had before.
You're also assuming every college athlete's a broke kid.
I mean, I came from a very well-off family and I still felt like a broke kid.
Here's a question.
And I'm telling you right now, I'd have took crooked money from anybody who was willing to give it to me, because I would not have given a fuck. It would have been a big fuck you to the NCAA and to everybody who said you couldn't make money for over the past. I'd have tried to suck up every dollar I could just for everybody who couldn't in the past. So there's one well-off white kid that just told you how dirty he'd have done it.
And is anyone here surprised by that?
No. Not a single listener or either of us are. I just think it's such a bad look if you're this $1 billion guy, and maybe they don't give a fuck, and that is yet to be seen. I just think it's such a look for these guys. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm a big booster for the University of Texas. We got this 5-star recruit. We promised him that he's going to get minimum $250,000 a year, and then he comes in and he's just trash. He doesn't do anything.
Honestly, transfer away.
Nothing would make me fucking smile or laugh more than these billionaires or people with stupid money just throwing cash into a fire,
right?
Just doesn't pay out,
right? And then what?
And like, if Texas is still horrible after this, I mean, it might just make my heart smile a little bit.
But you're assuming when they're signing their national letter of intent, they're also signing a 5-year guaranteed endorsement contract from the 9,000 car lot dealership, you know, big cattle ranch, Honda, or, you know, Chevy,
right
down in Texas.
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah, it's going to be like, you know, at the end of the day, just like in the NFL, like, advertisers don't want some trashy dude who rides the bench in the NFL.
Right.
You know, that guy's not going to be making a whole lot of money off endorsements. It's going to be the guys who are popular, make, you know, perform on the field and popular with the fan base.
Yeah. Which is why I thought that the boosters were going to have to fork over the cash to get the kids there. Cause once the kids there are there and performing, like you guys said, they can potentially get big national brands to sign them. But when they're 18 years old and they haven't proven anything yet, maybe those national brands aren't willing to fork over the money. Now they got to find their cash from other places, and they will find their cash from other places. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, but who is, I completely understand what you're saying, but say, okay, this kid signs at, I don't know why we keep saying Texas. We're going to keep saying
Texas. No, Texas is a great example. Money is
so notorious.
Yeah, and Texas is a great example.
And he goes a year there, doesn't see the field, and now the boosters aren't giving him what he wants. What booster from another school is going to be like, yeah, I'd pay that kid $250,000 to come here?
Oh, yeah, your stock definitely drops. You got to, if you don't perform right away, you got to get less greedy.
And that's what I'm saying, too, is like.
Well, I mean, do you think that will happen? Like, once you give a kid $250,000, I don't know. I think this is, I mean, I think we said it all along. I think this is good and horrible for college athletics at the same time.
Yep, I agree. It's good because it's just a human right to be able to make money.
Right.
Make money.
Exactly.
It's you should.
Completely un-American to tell a kid that you have no right to make money off your own
value.
Off your own value. It's going to be horrible to give some of these kids that kind of money at 18 years old. And I think it's going to really kind of cripple some of the values that you can learn in college football. And it can really fuck you up the rest of your life.
I agree with that because I do think that with anything, it would be naive to on Thursday when NIL goes live, I think it would be naive to be like, there's not going to be any issues here. You know, like every new like indoctrination of a system, it's going to go through some bumps and some obstacles.
I'm excited to find out who the new richest college kid is in the country next Monday.
I think it's going to be, God, it is. Is there anything that's ever happened like this? Like something that
No, this is groundbreaking. This is unheard of, dude.
It's so, I'm trying to think like even in just society, like something that's a absolute human right should not be prevented from happening, but when you do let it happen, there's going to be some like severe growing pains through it. I can't think of it.
At the same time, now that I think about it, I don't know if you guys saw the Bustin' of the Boys podcast with Johnny Manziel.
Yeah,
after he won the Heisman, he got paid $30,000 to sign autographs.
Right.
Like, we're not talking. I don't think we're going to actually be talking these stupid $250,000.
He got paid $30,000. By one guy to sign autographs multiple times. So every time,
the Heisman winner though.
Right. But this is at a time where you weren't allowed to do it. So guys were not taking full advantage of the price that they could get. Johnny Manziel was.
If anything, I would say that would make you want to jack up the price. Like if I'm taking this bigger risk, it better be a lot of money.
Sure, that's one way to work. Look at it from my perspective. It's just that Johnny Manziel's 19 years old. He just won the Heisman, and now people are offering him $30,000. He's not going to try and finesse the guy and be like, "Nah, I think $75,000 is going to be it." The guy could just tell him to kick rocks. You know, I would just take my $30,000 and not say a damn word. I would have done it the same way, but I don't know. I see what you're saying, Kev.
I just look at guys like, I mean. Even your brother, Kev, or John, who we're going to have on this afternoon, like your brother was a 4-star recruit, right?
Yeah. He was an Army All-American. Yep.
Yeah. Ryan and John were both 4-star recruits, which is a high, at the time, they were both
4 more stars than I think we all had,
which is way more stars. I technically had stars, but they were like not real stars. And like Ryan, like where did Ryan have offers from?
All over the place.
All over the place. Like the entire Big Ten. Like, didn't he have offers from the Pac-12 too? And
honestly, I forget. He had a lot of the Big Ten, a couple of ACC. I think he had one or two SEC.
Yeah, and so and we were talking about John. He had offers from Iowa, Wisconsin, Stanford, Nebraska, like, and then John, right. And then he ends up, he comes to Iowa, unfortunate circumstances, some injuries, the fact that George Kittle and Fant and Hawkinson are also in the program and their careers explode. And John never really sees the field as a tight end and gets limited special teams time, becomes basically a no-name player, a contributor, but not a Josie Jewell, not a Desmond King. if some booster gives him money, gives John money to come to Iowa over Wisconsin, and then he pans out the way he does, that booster the next time around is going to be like, wow, fuck, I kind of got burned on that cash. Like, I don't know how many times I'm willing to do this with these kids just puttering out like a fucking old, like 1970s car that's just shit in the bed. Like, I don't know if my money's worth it. I'm taking a chance on these kids and they're just, it's like gambling, right? Like, even if they're a high star recruit. So does it happen in the beginning?
Taking stocks, man. They might take off. The rich guys love to gamble, dude.
They do like to gamble, but at some point,
it's also a gamble, which you actually don't really see return on your investment. You're losing that money either way. It's just how much does you think winning is worth to you?
Yeah, it depends on how much that booster cares about his university going to Big Ten championships, and if he feels like the athletes that he paid for contributed to that.
And if they're already a booster, they probably care quite a bit about their university. Yeah. Like, I'm not a booster in Iowa, and I never will be, because Iowa and the whole university, aside from the University of Iowa football program, can kick rocks and get fucked. So I'll never donate a dime to that university. I ain't a booster.
The wrestling team might take exception to that.
Come yeah, on. I didn't mean it, you know, I said what I said, but there are also a lot of other people that I do like on that campus.
You said what you said, but you're also Drake, and so what you say is a little, it's a little diluted, and yeah. Man, it's interesting. I think maybe it goes through a few years of like a bunch of kids maybe making money, and then people, the market kind of realizing, okay, this is market value. What boosters are going to be looking at what other schools are paying their kids. These rich guys are going to be on fucking Epstein's Island trying to figure out how much money they should pay the recruits for their schools versus the other guys. Either way, it's still that, like, it's like a human right. Like, they're at least allowed the right now. And so,
yeah,
it will be.
I don't know, like, how much this would even peripherate down to from the top guys, you know, the big names. Like, in our playing days, how many of the guys in the locker room would actually be making like
a shitload of money?
That's not just like a couple grand a year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think in our class, I mean, you're looking at like Desmond and Josie would have made enough to like, can be considered a yearly salary for sure.
My point.
But dude, that like what, 40, 50 grand, like, who else? I don't even know. I know Drake, after he snapped his fucking leg, dude, you could have been on some commercials for some PT or some, you could have had some sick ortho commercials around Iowa City.
And then I could have been part of the drug rehab commercials after that.
So stupid.
The opioid epidemic in America
has been rebirthed through Iowa City and Drake's NIL rights. Yeah, man, I think that every kid has an opportunity to go do something. Like, I don't know. I would have found a way to make money, like not real money, but I think in my final couple years, as
you'd have found a way to make some cheese curd money.
So
you would have gone to the manager of Culver's and said,
dude,
what would you give me for anything? Like, I'll
dude, I would have gone. I would have walked into the back door of Culver's and just said, hey, if you guys pay me $30 a week and give me free hot fudge sundaes, I'll do commercials for you all day long. I don't care. $30 and a hot fudge sundae, dude, and a cheese curd every other week, man. Just fork it over, bro.
General managers ask questions to find the right players, like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I would have found, I think that as a long snapper in year three, 2016, and then 2017, I think that I could have sold myself enough to where I could have made like $5,000 a year. I think I could have made $5,000 or, you know, maybe more than that, but not $25,000, not $50,000 or 100 G's, but I think I could have done it. I think I could have done it. And I think Drake, you could have too. And Kevin, I don't know about you because you don't care enough to actually like pursue it outside of.
No, like, I don't see myself ever having really pursued it that much. If people like approach me and I, you know, I'm always willing to have a conversation about stuff like that, but I don't really see it as being something that I'm actively pursuing in my college days.
Yeah. But I mean, Caitlin Clark's going to make a fuck ton of money this year, boys. Spencer Lee, dude, is about to make all the money.
Hopefully he makes it all because like the time that he's put into his sport, he has become a true master.
Not
like those wrestlers. I think it could be huge for the wrestling program too.
Yeah.
The
whole wrestling team.
No one in the nation loves their wrestling program with maybe exception to Penn State, like the Iowa Hawkeye fan base.
There's going to be
that the wrestlers at Iowa are going to have the ability to make more money than any other wrestlers, except for maybe Penn State, in the whole country.
There's going to be companies, especially with a wrestling team. Like how many? There's 10 weight classes, right? 10 starters. Mm-hmm. So that's 10 people. There's going to be companies, if there isn't, anybody who owns a goddamn company near Iowa City, Cedar Rapids, or the east side of Iowa, you should be listening right now. You should be contacting the Iowa wrestling team to get those 10 guys to do a sick ass promo for your company. And the whole rest, like they're going to come to the team and say, hey, we want to do this promo. We're going to give each guy, everybody's going to get, you know, $1,000. Spencer, you get 10. And the whole team's going to be like, sign us up, baby. Sign us up. Tell us where to roll into and we'll do the commercial. I mean, the football team, it wouldn't happen like that because there's 100 guys. No one's going to come to the team and say, hey, we'd like to do something with the entire team. But the wrestling team, that could definitely happen. Or like the starting five on the basketball squad. Like there's going to be opportunities for those guys. Low money, right? Hey, we'll give each guy $500, $1,000. Caitlin Clark's going to make a shitload.
Here's a question for you guys. Say you're a head coach or say you're Kirk Ferentz. How do you address this?
Right.
And how do you communicate to the team? Like, we encourage you, yes, to
build your brand, but not be a distraction.
Build your brand and market yourself. And like, we're not going to try to hold you back. But at the same time, it's like our priorities can't change.
You have to now convince them. You're going to have to convince 18-year-old kids that their education and time spent on literature class is more important than time spent finding ways to get cash in their pocket today. Like you're actually going to have to convince kids of that to market their time where they have lifting, practice, meetings, etc. All the time, all of the 20 Kara hours
how much free time you had during the season. It's like dick.
None.
It's none.
And now you're going to have to convince the kids that their schoolwork is the actual priority.
And I think you're right. And I think what it actually is like, and it's kind of Coach Ferentz will also say this when it came to like individual awards, like Big Ten awards or national awards, is like, you know, they usually pick those guys who are on good teams. So winning's the most important part. It's going to be like that too. It's like, hey, you want to sign some of these big deals. You want to make some money. First, you got to be on a successful team. Second, you gotta play well on the field.
I agree with that. I think that.
Let me check this right here, though. How you guys know already that there are some dudes in the locker room that took part of their scholarship check and paid for their classes anyways. There are kids on campus who already pay for their papers and their tests, et cetera, et cetera.
I can name a few.
Now just imagine how much, there's going to be a whole new cheating economy that comes out in these schools because every nerd is going to be willing to take the marketing money off the football star to take Hess, who cares? That's no stress off them. All they got to do is write another paper. They got that money in their pocket. These kids literally are not going to have to do any of their own work because the nerds are going to do their schoolwork for them. And now they're just, they're professional athletes at 18.
Yeah, the Jimmy chemistry in fucking Gen Chem 2 is going to know, like,
he's going to have so many clickers.
He's going to be like, hey, T-Good, I saw that you just did that 25K deal with Shields. And I know we got that test coming up. And boy, wouldn't it be juicy if you could just hand over 4%? Okay,
well, I mean, I know the papers thing is...
Or I know we got a big paper coming
up. I don't know how the hell you're going to take tests for people. That'd be fucking impressive how you can manage to do that.
A lot of people...
Well, all you got to do... Blake Gimble came into a test with us and took a test. All you have to do is have one nerd off campus...
Do you not remember when you turn in the test, you have to show them your student ID too at the same time?
Not every time, man.
Those big classes you do.
Yeah.
You're right though, Drake. There's we know several people who paid, you know, 25, 50, 75 bucks
here. All you have to do is have somebody in the class sitting a row down
I know
you've already paid him. He takes your test and just passes it back to you. And that's that. Like, there's easy ways to do it. All I'm saying is that there's going to be a whole lot less educated athletes out there.
If I'm mentoring any young 18 to 23 year old men out there listening to this podcast, the risk ain't worth the reward. You're going to get your ass in some fucking trouble. You get caught.
But I guarantee you there's going to be some cheating.
There are.
Like, remember, dude, North Carolina got busted a few years back for that like scandal. Like, they were taking basket weaving and they weren't even going to their own damn classes. It's fucking basket weaving. They had some like fucking bullshit majors that was just for athletes, and they were still cheating at that, and NCAA like banned them for a couple years.
This isn't for those listening who are now sitting there like, oh fuck, is this gonna change everything now that it's actually real? Because we're just talking about the extremes. This isn't a new problem that we're talking about. Like, this is just what's going to happen to a problem.
It's what happens to the whole situation when more money gets influxed.
Right. And
more money, more problems.
I still think that, Kevin, what you said wins out. I truly do. And maybe this is just my optimism and Drake will slide the other way on this. But I think that you're right. The biggest deals, the most endorsements, the most money for an Instagram post, the most money for a commercial, whatever, it's going to come to those who are playing the best and are on the best teams in the end.
And here's all I'm going to say. My last argument to any of this, and then I'll shut up, is that you, Kluver, know how money hungry you were as a college kid right there. Kluver, you know you're obsessed with money. You've always been obsessed with money.
I wasn't.
That's untrue.
What, give me an example of how I was obsessed with money. I liked
money. Money has always been a topic of conversation with you. Always. It has always been a lead topic of conversation, which means it's always been ahead of the importance in your life. It has to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be such a topic of conversation.
I think maybe I get where you're coming from. And
your desire for money has always, just like everybody's, right?
I think that you're coming at it. You're playing it up. I was very frugal in college. Yes. I what money I did have, the once I was on scholarship, the money that I got on those checks, I saved every little bit of it. But it's not because I'm so obsessed with money. It was because I knew the kind of head start I could get and what it would do for my life. But like, I was never, if I was money hungry, I would have had like a job in the summer like Bo and Josie did. I didn't do shit like that. Like, I wasn't.
But
I get what you're saying.
Okay. So regardless of how you would classify it, but you come from a family who takes care of themselves. Your family's fine. Your mom and dad are two individuals who take care of themselves, right?
More so than a lot of families, yes.
Okay. And same with me. And I'm admitting right here that given the opportunity, I would have taken focus away, time and focus away from things that I did put it on to getting the money, right?
I understand that.
And that's coming from two people who don't have the pressure to support their own families.
You're right.
There's a whole lot of college athletes out there that feel the pressure to support their families.
But here's the other part of that though, Drake, is once you're going to see the other side start to slide, you're going to start to see, okay, I've got enough money for now. And I could name a couple athletes on this one. you're like, okay, oh, I got, okay, I signed with this school. They're giving me 50K up front. They're guaranteeing this car deal once I get on campus. I'm the new freshman. I'm the big man on campus now. Okay, freshman year, I played a little bit. I'm getting a few deals. You start to get too worried about that money, and now your play starts to slip, and you lose your spot on the depth chart, and you're no longer a face of the program. All of a sudden, the money starts to disappear. Like, it's a balance. It's a balance there. Like, now all of a sudden you can't support your family because you've let your greed for trying to make all these deals take advantage or take priority in your life. And now all of a sudden, like, you're out doing car commercials and you haven't been putting in the reps in the summer with your position group, and you're the third on the depth chart.
Yeah, but I was talking about school, not football. I was saying that football and money were the priorities, and school is now completely out the window.
Well, now you fail a class and you're not eligible. Not going to be very marketable anymore. Like, your priority, it's going to end up balancing itself out. Now, yes, in the beginning, are there going to be some kids who think, oh, babe, I can name three off the top of my head right now that we played with. I got 100 G's. I'm good. I'm set. I'm good. Let's get this bread, you know? And then all of a sudden they fail a class. They're not even fucking eligible for the next semester. No one even knows who they are. They're kicked off the team. And hey, how marketable are you now? Like, if you're a young adult at 18, 19 years old, you're going to have to realize that they affect each other. It doesn't just go one way. And
what do you think this guy is going to do to the transfer market? Because
it's going to be huge for the transfer market. I think those are the proven players.
It's going to exacerbate the problem because you don't make money. You ain't starting. It's like,
yeah,
I can't work here. Sit the bench for 2 years. I want to go make money somewhere else. So
I think the transfer, now this is where Drake's argument comes in heavy. I think with freshmen, for me, it's going to be that unproven kind of thing as a booster. Maybe they give some money, but they're gambling. But later on, if you can get a sophomore or a junior who's coming from UNI or South Dakota State, and he's balling out, he's already on draft boards, and he's going to go transfer for his senior season to try and play in the Big Ten. Ooh, that boy going to have some money on the table from all of the boosters because he's proven now. They know he can play.
I can see it being, for that example, yes. For the guy who's transferring for depth chart reasons, like you're not getting enough playing time or whatever.
No, for them.
I see it being the opposite because those old fucks – I mean, I probably put myself in that category. Hate people who transfer for that reason.
Yeah. But for the ones who are coming from a smaller school to go and live out a dream that they had when they were under recruited.
Which I can always appreciate that, trying to up your level of competition.
And honestly, like, dude, I'm okay with that. Fuck it. It's free market, man. Go pay for your transfer.
Or just imagine you're in spring ball of call it spring ball, and your left tackle blows out his ACL in spring ball, and you get the opportunity to go offer Tristan Wirfs after you know he's going to be an All-American. Mm. And, you know, I was giving him a scholarship check, but.
And some money. But here's the other thing that you have to assume too, is that this kid just doesn't give a fuck about his unit. Like Tristan, he's a good kid.
Yeah. Man. Okay. I'm just giving you the example that some team loses their left tackle and now they go buy Iowa's left tackle, who's been bred, born, bred and groomed to.
I don't see that.
The kids. I think that the kids are wholehearted more than that. I think you're going to find, you know, that kid's going to now.
I'm just spitballing here, boys.
I know. But on the other side of your spitballing, I'm saying this kid's now going into his senior year or junior year, whatever. He's almost done with his career. He's already been a Hawkeye for 3-4 years. He's already got relationships with his teammates, his coaches, the city. If he's doing deals now, he's doing, like, you know, he's made himself a life in this one ecosphere. And
like at the end of the day,
Mike, Kevin,
and now he has to put out there, hey, I'm transferring to Alabama for my senior season when I had everything was going just fine. And then he knows that money deal is going to, it's reported. Everything's reported now because it's legal. So it's now going to come out that, oh, Alabama paid him $1 million to come be their left tackle for the last year. That kid has to basically give up his his dignity and his
everything. Just imagine this. If one of you, y'all were like a superstar, like one of our, like Josie was a star. Yeah, so say Josie just walked up and left his senior season. I would be so fucking scummed with him. I don't think we'd be friends anymore.
Yeah, and that is one, like I just said, that's one of the things that that kid now has to consider.
Like, can you just imagine walking away from your best friends like that?
I don't think, some kids may do it. Some kids maybe, Drake would do it, right?
No.
See, and you're saying that you're one of the scummy ones and you wouldn't do that.
I'm scummy and I'm taking all the money that I can from anybody who's willing to give it to me within the Iowa football ecosystem.
Yeah.
And I'll take every dime just because, sure, if you're willing to give it, I'm willing to take it. But I'm not going elsewhere.
See, and I don't think a lot of kids will either. Once they're stuck and they've planted.
Yeah, but I'm an Iowa kid that walked onto the team and paid his way to play fullback, dude. I paid the university money for a worthless education and to hit my head a lot. That's what I did. Okay, that's how dedicated I was to the University of Iowa. So
I think other kids will have a lot of dedication too. I think it would take a severe amount of money. I just don't think it'll be there. But the fact that there's a possibility, it's going to make for some very interesting articles and stories on all these players.
I'm all for them making money. I'm just here to let you know what's about to happen.
There's some possibility.
I'm the devil's advocate, and I think I'm coming up with real scenarios.
And I think your scenarios are real, and everything you've said will happen on one or two kids will go that route, but I don't think it's going to be rampant. Like there's 10 kids on every team that are just exacerbating these problems. Right.
If you think that the under on kids that are going to pay other people to do all of their schooling for them, I think you're crazy. I'll take the over on 10 every day.
Across the entire country. Absolutely.
No. On each team.
On each team. I don't know.
All that takes is one class. All that takes is a guy that doesn't want to write any of his literature papers or any of the book reports.
But what's it at already? You know, like what is it, you know?
That exactly. You're now helping my argument.
I'm saying that it's not like we're going from 0 to 100. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying we're going from like 80 to 100 or 60 to 100. You know, it's like
I like that.
So here's what the other thing I thought about with this, and this is going to be something that provides a ton of great content for the podcast because the three of us all have our ideas on it. And when it starts to play out where these kids, like we get to actually talk about these deals and just, you know, spitball on the dumb
shit. I can't wait to see one of these guys get an actual huge check.
Yeah. It's going to be
first insane. Iowa guy that gets a huge check. I'm going to throw a party for him.
I think, and I'd like to talk about this on an extended podcast when we have more time, because I think what Kevin brought up with KF managing that and the coaching staffs, you know, because now Iowa, especially like, hey, they want to make their guys feel at home. Everything that happened last year in 2020, you don't want to limit them. You don't want to stop them from being themselves. Like that's a huge thing now. And part of that is going to be, well, hey man, I need to go get some deals done. How does KF and the boys handle that? But
luckily, KF is one of the wisest men that I've ever met or that may have ever walked this earth, and somebody who is very capable of putting together policies that are probably much fairer than what the three of us can spitball. I have faith in KF to do a better job than most.
Yeah. I mean,
there's coaches like Lane Kiffin who I think are going to fucking botch this horribly, but I think a guy like KF can keep his troops in line much better than most.
If Lane Kiffin botches it or some of these big time programs botch it, I think there's still in some way a potential for their programs to start sucking ass too.
It's possible. I mean, Drake just said it, you know, how do you get your guys to buy in to what the program's about? Give them the freedom to do what they want and feel good. Because guys that feel good and are happy are going to play better. But at the same time, keep everyone in line, marching the same beat.
Yeah, the culture.
Buying into the culture. You know, how do you do all that? The team that can have the culture that does all those things, which is going to be extremely hard to do with 18 to 23-year-old kids, is going to benefit the most. There's going to be those programs out there that let their kids run wild, and it's going to have a horribly negative consequence.
I think you could see a team like USC or UCLA, who are down there in LA. Like, I think they could suck total ass because there's so many opportunities to be an influencer and a fucking, you know, the big time guy on campus, all the Instagram, all the deals, all the whatever. But
that does also just the landscape in general. The amount of money that's available in LA is higher than the amount of money that's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, even though Alabama is wildly successful.
Yep.
Like, nobody can match Hollywood Hills money. So yeah,
those fucking liberals don't care about,
which could be true, which could absolutely be true. But there are also extremely rich people who do care about the colleges there. And there's like the amount of marketing potential in LA is just way higher than Tuscaloosa. So,
and it's really going to end up being a question over time of does the amount of money available that's in the environment, in the ecosystem, directly correlate with on-field and team performance? And I just don't think it will. I think in some ways it inversely correlates. Like it's going to be interesting. And you're right. Maybe more than ever, the thing that makes the most difference here is, do you have a coach and a staff in place who's able to manage this and do it the right way?
And it's also going to come back down to, can you get the right guys from the right families with the right mindsets in the building, which is so hard to do with 30-minute phone calls every other month, 16 to 18-year-olds.
I agree.
How well can you pick them? Which is always what it's always been.
Yep. And to finish this podcast, because there's going to be obviously clearly be a lot more conversation on this topic going forward. Who do the Washed Up Walk-Ons sponsor first as a walk-on on the Iowa football team? Who do we go after? We got to get some boys wearing our merch on fucking interviews after the game or something like that. Like, come on.
So it's got to be a walk-on.
It's got to be fucking Shooter. We got to give Shooter.
I'm either going Shooter. No, I'm gonna pick Kerner.
Kerner's, I knew you were picking Kerner. I'm picking Shooter.
Dude, both of them.
Give me Omani Potapov.
I talked to Kerner on Wednesday. He was at that golf outing thing. He still got our signs up and our Christmas.
Go!
I know. Dude. I was so proud of the dude.
But dead ass. Like, we're now in the space, right? Like, we got a little bit of money that's built up from, like, let's grow the brand.
It's gone down. RIP to Bitcoin.
Well, once Bitcoin comes back, we're going to be sponsoring every walk-on on the team. But, like, dude, what if we create a couple T-shirts that are exclusive and we give Shooter,
if we were, like, massive like Rogan, yes, I would offer to pay all the walk-ons.
I'm saying on a little level, like,
the University of Iowa gets a guaranteed contract to
wouldn't that be incredible? We give the walk-ons money and they're just like, dude, this is fucking sick. So hey, here's the new pitch. So now, since NIL is now a thing, every listener out there that wants our team to be great and have the best walk-ons who now want to come to Iowa because it's the best, everybody out there, subscribe to Patreon, because now that Patreon contributes to a walk-on contract sponsorship by the Washed Up Walk-Ons, where Shooter's going to be wearing fucking Washed Up Walk-Ons branded cleats or something like that.
I got one for you. Okay. We make an exclusive Iowa fullback T-shirt that is,
give it to Potty,
CTE City, Iowa, and at the place where Iowa City is on the map of Iowa, it's just two people colliding and a big explosion happening above them.
And we get Monty to wear that out and just pay him like two. I mean, like, we have the money to pay Monty or Palisard or Kerner or Shooter. Like, we could pay them $200-$400. Like, we could give them some money to wear our shit. Like, I'm serious. This is a real thing now.
Hey man, if you want to give Monty Potabom a CTE City shirt and give him a couple $100 and say, hey man, tell everybody that you love the Washington.
Wear this to media.
I'm in.
There's a lot of opportunities out there, boys. That's all I'm saying. So this turned into, especially with Kevin joining the podcast, I think this turned into way more than Drake thought it was going to be of an episode. And, I might just cut the first part and just intro with Kevin coming in, because this was a hell of a conversation. And,
just cut out our stupidity.
Yeah. And just because this was a great conversation. Episode 227 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Hopefully we've
Cut the stupidity at the beginning and put it at the end for bonus content.
Yeah, that might be what I do. That's it. We'll be back again on Thursday, hopefully with a nice little John Wisniewski episode, the 337 podcast, if Kevin makes it this afternoon. Ooh, let's go. That's a six.
Kevin.
336.
He just turned his fingers around. He went 3-3, and I think that makes seven. CTE City, boys.
336 was the house across the street that we watched have cops outside for like 3 hours one night.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Peace out, boys. If you want to hear the extended version of this episode, the first 30 minutes when Drake and I were just talking by ourselves, we talked about the NCAA Baseball World Series and the NCAA screwing that whole thing up. We talked about Gervas's football camp rally for Reed, his wedding coming up, some other dumb stuff, Drake cooking a steak, a Wagyu steak at 4 a.m. in the morning. Those extra 30 minutes will be on our Patreon page, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can get all of our exclusive content, the extra stuff, the extra episodes, the early releases, the video exclusive stuff. All of that is there, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, and that will include the extra 30 minutes to 227, the episode you just listened to. It also helps support the Children's Hospital. It'll get you exclusive access to merchandise that only you get. It'll get you percentage off our regular merchandise runs and potentially some free merchandise later on down the road, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So thank you guys so much for supporting. Thank you guys for listening, and have a fantastic day.
Hey everyone, I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.